Hello everybody, this is Bala Ramadurai. I'm an innovation facilitator at Mindtree. This is the fourth podcast of the Triz India podcast series. I have with me Murali.
Hi, my name is Murali. I also work with Mindtree, helping people innovate.
So today we're going to start on a new topic. I call it the maxed out credit card graduate student technique. So you're a grad student and you have a maxed out credit card. What do? You don't have any more money. What do? So this is where resources thinking really comes in handy. So resources thinking is about finding this completely free unutilized resource or source of ideas or source of something to get you get things done. So Murali and I were discussing just before this an area where people use resources all the time is prison break. So I mean, not that we encourage, but we say, you know, we take two movies or novels for example. Is one of them is Shawshank Redemption, one of my all-time favorite movies, and Count of Monte Cristo, which is a French translated into English novel, and excellent source of place where you can find that the prisoners in these movies, the protagonists in both movies are prisoners who want to get out and are wrongfully accused. But the focus, I mean, we want to focus on the fact that they use resources. They use, the plates into weapons, plates into fish, bones into spoons, and trying to open tunnels, read maps, learn education. There are prisoners who have tons of knowledge, whom they the protagonists actually tap into to get a lot of knowledge, and all this without spending a dime. So I thought this is an extreme situation, but tells you how important resources are in the functionality, or in this case functionality being to get out of prison for these wrongfully accused protagonists. So I thought it's a really good example that Murali came up with.
I think if you look at it, the principle that is in action here is put to other use. You have a function that you want to achieve, and not necessarily you will find all the system elements that can accomplish this, which will probably mean that you have to add components into your system. But resources are something that is already available that could be used, could be put to other sorts of use, so you can achieve the functionality without any further addition of components, without any addition of cost or size of the system itself. So that entire thing is completely taken out, and you're able to put it to other use. That is the one principle that I feel manifests in this technique actually. There are many ways to actually identify resources. The one of the ways that I found very useful to identify resources is think in time and space, which is something that we have discussed in a previous podcast called the Nine Windows podcast. So in that, the two dimensions that we see are time and space. So if we take the space element of it, meaning the y-axis, you could identify resources that is available at the super system level, at the system level, and at the super system level. And all of these could be put to other uses, could be put to better use, could be used for free, and you will be able to get closer to ideality. That is the first dimension of it. Second dimension is time. When we say time, it is actually duration. It could be a wait, it could be a delay, or it could be time during some action or function happening. All of that becomes a resource that you could use. One of the greatest examples that we have seen is we had an innovation problem that we were working on for one of our customers, and the issue was engaging customers while they are on the website. And one of the resources that came immediately was, how much time does it take for a customer to wait for a page to load? How much time does he spend on the website itself? And how much time does it take for a transaction to commit? What does the loading screen say? All these are actually resources that could be put to better use within the system itself. So these are easier ways for you to actually identify, resources.
I've seen travel websites where you enter the name of the place, places that starting and ending places, and then the date and all that. And when you press find, your lowest price flight, it actually goes through a progress bar. And nothing much is actually, that's an excellent resource to be utilized. People display ads, people display, so that is being used, but I think that's an excellent resource for somebody to utilize, saying, tell me something about the destination that I'm going to, if it's Hong Kong that I'm going to, if you can give me, something about Hong Kong, a picture about of Hong Kong, because you have that information. That is a resource as well.
Right.
You've already asked me for where I'm going and when I'm going.
Yeah.
So you can give me a picture of Hong Kong in mid of July, because that's when I'm planning to
go
there, or mid of December, that's when I'm planning to go there. So those are resources that are there. So you don't have to necessarily keep doing actions to get stuff out when you can actually use stuff right around your system. And that's why, that's what I think Murali referred to as super system elements.
One of the very, while we were in the travel thinking, there was one website that was recently acquired by Google. They actually had used Agony as a resource. Agony, which is something that every passenger goes through if he takes a red eye, if he has to wait for longer, if he has to catch, quick connection flights, how much agonizing can it be to me? So, generally speaking, travel websites, when they give you options with respect to tickets, do not give a sort on agony.
Mm-hmm.
Most agonizing tickets could be, very cheap.
That's really smart.
While, the least agonizing, no connections, just get on the flight and you will get down and it will be the right time, evening to late night, whatever it is. Least agonizing could be more costlier, and they were actually using it to sort the options available for tickets. I mean, that's a it's just a measure which is already available with you. You could basically use it to give a better experience to your prospects and customers.
Yeah,
that's just like easy to do.
Yeah, that's a great example. One common example that we use and people relate to this quickly in our workshops is that if there was this company trying to track traffic in live real time, and the sensors that you need to put them cost about $100,000, and this is Prakash's example, I've seen him use that a lot, and $100,000 per mile is the sort of general numbers that they give when you want to place sensors and track traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a costly problem. So how do you solve it using simple means? Well, without spending any money, you look for resources. Is there anything that's available around your system, in your system, that's still not utilized? In fact, we even look at we call them harmful resources, meaning is there anything that's negative going on in your system that you can utilize for your achieving your functionality? The resource that was used, I'm sure in the US as well as in India, is that ask the callers who are stuck in traffic to text or SMS or call in and saying we are stuck in a jam. It turns out that people do want to vent their frustration, and the resource there is time. The people who are driving, in some areas it's illegal to text or do it while you're driving, if you're in a bus and you're stuck in a jam, you're feeling frustrated, now you have the time, you can go ahead and text it to this radio number. And they immediately say, five callers from this place said, avoid this place, it's already stuck. So that's a resource put to use. Instead of spending $100,000 per mile, they've actually used something that's there in the system and relatively unutilized.
Mm.
So that's one example I could think of.
Mm.
The other example that came to my mind is, two of them, which is where this resource they use was exactly the same, which is home computers are idle when I'm not using it. This was used in part of a project for search of extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI.
Yeah.
And there they had to do, billions of light years, covers spanned across
genome processes,
genome and AIDS, molecule sort of deciphering sort of project. Rather than doing Recaptures another, but I'm let me finish this story. So rather than investing heavy resources in supercomputing and doing all this computational power, it's probably easy to tap into home computers, which are idle when people are not using it, and it gives the user the additional kick that I am actually participating in a project which is of international use, like this extraterrestrial project or the genome or the AIDS molecular calculation problem. So the resource that was used is the computer, and at a particular time when it's not used. So I think that's a great example. Sorry, you were saying something.
No, I mean, I was along the same lines actually. Recaptcha, which is currently one of the most successful ways of identifying and authenticating the real people than machines or bots that is trying to create user IDs and spam people. So that is a very effective thing, but in reality, if you look at it, it is pure resource thinking. And what they have done right now is actually digitizing a lot of books with the number of authentications or number of signups that happens all over the world. And even Google today, I mean, a million words actually gets converted in every hour. That's the sort of conversions.
Wow.
that
mind boggling. And all this for free.
All
absolutely
this for free.
Free.
And people do it because they have to do it, and it identifies them in a more real manner than machines can. So that's the purpose, and that's the function that you are able to achieve free.
One funny Edison anecdote that comes to my mind is that Edison invited his friend over for lunch, and when he entered, he found that the picket fence, the door was really hard to push, and this guy pushed it and came inside, and he talked about was a complaint to Edison, saying, "You're such a great inventor, how come you haven't fixed your fence? It's so difficult to push it." So Edison just smiled and brought his friend to the to his backyard and showed him that there was a mechanism which is connected to the picket fence door to the well or to the water resource. So whenever somebody entered, they were actually pushing and thus actually drawing water from this water source and watering the plants also. So this was a resource. Tons of people probably visited Edison, and he got his water, and I'm sure he had no time to go and water it himself. So this is an excellent use of resource story. And Edison being Edison, he actually came up with this idea. So are there any things to watch out for when we're thinking of these resources thinking? Are there any flip side or negatives that you can think of, Murli?
Yeah, I mean, resource thinking can go very diverse. When you really think about resources, you think about people, you think about we think about time, we think about all sorts of things. So you may really forget about the ideality or the function that you're trying to achieve, you may actually find resources that are not really taking you towards that function achievement. So that could be a distractor for you specifically when you're looking at resources. But if you are able to put those resources to use for the function, then I think you're okay, and you limit yourself to, say, the first level super system, then you should be okay. So that's the only flip side that I see. But resources, you pretty much can't go wrong. That is basically how I feel about resources, because once it gets into your thinking pattern, you always look for resources. I mean, it's not necessary that you will buy something, or you will look for investment, or you will look for commitment or support. You never do that. You actually look for resources, and you just go towards your ideality. That's how I feel about it.
Mm. So I think if you found the right resource, then you don't have to do a lot of change in your system. Is one ready test of a good resource identified. But the resource that probably don't work, and I think of it the Daryl Mann way, which is if you've solved one problem and you're getting a few more problems to solve because of this resource, take that up as potential for getting new resources to identify and solve those problems as well. So it's sort of it will be a recursion. It will lead to further identification of resources, but the key is to really look for everything around your system or within your system that is unutilized, and that is the key to actually solving the problem, rather than throwing money at it or throwing resources as in human resources at it. which is the normal way anyway. We are going to explore those options. That's been our experience, is that people actually resort to resource thinking when they are done with the traditional problem solving ways.
You know, when we were applying it for an internal, you know, foundation initiative, you know, the resource thinking specifically, one of the things that was very profound was that, you know, people who were trying to apply resources thought relationships was the most important and most powerful potential, you know, resource that they should be using. And what was interesting was that people were not considering only their relationships, meaning what is the first you know, level relationship, but they were also considering their friends' relationships as something potentially that they could leverage on, they could use. And the entire resource map actually was 70% relationships and you know, 30% you know, elements in the system, etc. So it's more towards that. And with more and more we are able to relate and connect with people and collaborate, you know, cross geo, cross culture, cross language, cross you know, hierarchy, you know, whatever it is, so these friend and a friend of friend type of relationship, those will actually become a very, very you know, high potential you know, resource that you can look at to accomplish a certain functionality that you are looking to achieve. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I wanted to offer also as a resource.
We'll take a 30 second break and then resume. And we are back. So we're talking about resources thinking. We are chucked out of the earlier conference room that we're sitting in. So now we have a new resource in a new room. So I actually wanted to talk about our podcast story, which Ellen Dom covered in her you know, Tris Journal commentary as being resource thinking. So we wanted to cover that as well. Is that basically you know, the phone lines that were idle anyway, we used them, and then archive.org is some resource that we identified, which is a free internet you know, archive with
storage,
unlimited,
yeah.
For storage, unlimited bandwidth and unlimited storage. So those are resources that are always there. Of course, you have to do your search and find them out, but primarily it is you know, a classic story of resource thinking. Is we haven't spent a dime on resource, and of course the cell phone recorder that I'm using to record these podcasts is another resource as well. It's there with me anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well use a feature that I've never used before.
One more resource that I want to add is that in the past, Shankar had been using his travel time as a resource to participate and, you know, actually be part of a podcast also. So he was using time as that resource.
Excellent example.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think you know, you get smart ways to solve your problem when you're thinking resources, and particularly you know, management in a company loves it because they don't have any additional investments, primarily because you're using resources. And they're very encouraging, and you know, that you're not using up any money, but you're still getting work done. So that's a definitely a management dream come true, I think.
Right.
Another resource that I've seen in one of the workshop is a large semiconductor company that we went and had a workshop. One of the teams there actually used their own brand name as a resource. You know, brand value is something that people say, it is notional, intangible, all that stuff. But I think they went ahead and used that for certification of their you know, vendors or suppliers, so that there is competition. So the competition could be another survey, another resource as well. So I thought that was very smart that
right.
They used you know, brand value and competition as two resources for their own purpose. So I guess you know, we've covered good ground on resources. To conclude, you know, what is the first thing that one needs to do in resource thinking? Is this the place to start? This is the place to start. What would your advice be?
I would say just look around, and you will actually, you know, if you are very passionate about solving the problem, you will actually figure out resources around you that you can put to use that will take you closer and closer to that ideality. That is definitely possible.
Okay. My point is that immediately ask a question, does it cost anything? Because I have seen that in the past people identify a resource and then it actually costs a lot of money to get that. People don't realize that. So the first question to ask is, does it cost money? The answer is zero or a few pennies, it's okay. Then it's a resource, then you should use it.
Right.
Then the second question is it harmful? Rather look for harmful stuff. So that will be the second place. So first place is ask if it's free. Second is there anything harmful in the system that I can possibly use or around my system that I can possibly use?
Right.
So these are two things that I think.
In summary, what I would like to say is that there are many ways to classify resources. It could be an internal to the system, external to the system type of classification. Or it could be, tangible versus intangible type of relationship, classification that you want to do. Or it is something that is on time or space, for example. Or is it something available within the organization, outside of the organization. Or it could be just plain, system elements or, stuff that is lying around that you could use. So there are many ways to classify it. But the important thing is just deliberately look for it. I mean, that's when you actually figure where the resources are.
That is a
are.
Trick, really.
Yeah. Otherwise, you never find these resources and they go waste. I mean, we can give you many, many examples where just a deliberate looking and asking, led us to powerful resources that we could put to use.
Yeah. Okay, that's about it from our desk for this week. This 2 weeks. We publish every 2 weeks. So, thanks and keep the comments and feedback coming in. We enjoy them. Thank you so much. Have a great 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.